Happy Mama's Day. So glad that you're here today. You know, mamas come in numerous packages, do they not? Wow. Sometimes you find them as teachers in classrooms. Sometimes you find them as foster moms. Sometimes you find them as adoptive moms. Sometimes as stepmoms. And sometimes you find a lady, a special woman that is unable to have children of her own for some reason. But that doesn't make her any less of a mama in any way, shape, or form. Many are single and long to have a family and kids someday themselves. Sometimes you find them in the form of aunts, of sisters, of grandmas. But regardless of the state that you find them in, here's what you always will discover. All of them are willing to be selfless and help those around them. That's what I know about moms. Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah. And I believe it's because all women were created a unique way. All women were created to be maternal. Because basically mothering is all about nurturing. It's all about compassion. It's all about being patient. Amen. It's all about loving and serving others. And that's what makes you a mama, whether you have a child or not. That's what makes you a mama. A mother, I found a definition which was interesting. In its truest sense, I think would be defined this way. To watch over, to nourish, and to protect maternally. To watch over, to nourish, and to protect maternally. It's just an instinct. And that is what mamas do exactly. I believe it with all my heart. So if you are a woman today, here's what I know. If you have ever loved, watched over, nourished, and protected, that's who you are. And you are a mama. And we celebrate you today. That's what we're all about here at COC. Thanks for doing what you do. Because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't have a clue. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make any lady that's here today feel uncomfortable. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask all the men to stand to your feet. And let's give all the ladies in the house a huge round of applause. Standing ovation. Come on, let me hear you. Come on. Give that lady beside you a big smack and kiss right now. Make sure she's your wife, all right? Make sure she's your wife. We always like to say thank you to all the ladies on Mama's Day. So we do have, as Pastor Ben said, a special ladies' lounge. Ladies' lounge for you to go and enjoy yourself. It's right through those doors and to the left, I believe it is. So make sure that you go out there and you enjoy yourself today and you go home and get spoiled. You get spoiled today. You tell them that's what the message was all about, spoiling me. You didn't even hear about anything else. You just heard spoiling me, all right? If you are just joining us today for the first time, we're wrapping up a series that we've been in the last 4 weeks, and it's been called Death to Selfie. And our primary objective in this series has been basically about helping you, hopefully, discover who your real identity is and that it's only found in Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Your real identity is only in Christ and what that looks like. And maybe, just maybe, along the way, you've been able to discover some areas and some ideas about how you can protect yourself from the greatest obstacle, the greatest barrier that may be standing in your way. It's you. It's you. You're your greatest obstacle. Why don't you turn to your neighbor today and say, you are your greatest obstacle. Do it right now. Do it right now. You. Now, wait a minute, ladies. That wasn't a you are my greatest obstacle. Gosh. Hey, listen, it's about you today, but don't take it that far now. Come on. You know what we're talking about. Come on. And we've been doing this by looking at a pretty familiar Bible character by the name of Jacob and several supporting cast members that are in his story. And we've been hoping and praying that along the way, somewhere, maybe just maybe, you've been able to see you in part of his story and maybe see and find some ideas and ways that you can change yourself and allow God to change you to become more like him. So here's what we want to kind of close our series with today. We're talking about this particular idea. It might resonate with some of you and you might understand what we're talking about, but just because the Bible says God works all things together for our good, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything feels good all the time. Doesn't necessarily mean that. Even though there's circumstances in our lives that we never even wanted to come along and we didn't choose to go through, here's what you got to get today more than anything else. You got to get this, that God has given you, as a child of God, he has given you the right, the permission to rename any other circumstance or situation that you might be in. You can change the name of what you're going through today, and you can turn that problem into something amazing called a blessing. You can do it. Four people got excited about that. You, first service, you're better than this. You know what I'm saying? You can turn your problem into something spectacular, into a blessing. God has given you that ability to do that. So with that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say goodbye to our friend named Jacob today. He's been our guide on our journey. He's been a good guide at some times and a very dysfunctional guide at other times as well. There's no doubt about that. But hopefully you're going to be able to discover as we say goodbye to him that if God can actually love a guy like that, then there's hope for you. There's hope for you that he can love you as well. He can love you as well. If you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, and this is our main passage in text today. Our main passage in text is Genesis chapter 35, 16 through 20. It says this, "Then they moved on from Bethel. While they were there some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And she was having great difficulty in childbirth, or as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, 'Don't despair, for you have another son.' And as she breathed her last breath, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. But his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, the pillar marks Rachel's tomb." I want to talk to you about an idea today called naming rights. Naming rights. And I believe with all my heart, with all the messages that we've spoken, I believe this particular message has the power to completely change somebody in this room today. Wherever you may find yourself in, I believe that it has the power to revolutionize the way that you look at your problems in your life. The way that you can turn messes into miracles and the power that God has given to you to do that. I believe that with all of my heart. So we see in our story today that Jacob and his family have now left this place called Bethel. And we went to Bethel the first week when we saw that Jacob was running. He was running from Esau. And then we went back to Bethel with Jacob in our third week, and I shared with you that week that this time Jacob came back to Bethel, but he was limping. First time he was running, second time he was limping. And if you remember, the first time that Jacob went to Bethel, he was negotiating with God. He was a deal maker. That's how Jacob worked. That's how he was. That's who he was. And he was saying things like this, if God, you'll do this, then God, I will do that. He was a deal maker. But the second time that he goes back to Bethel, it's interesting because this time he's limping. And here's what's interesting. This time he doesn't talk very much. He simply builds an altar. He builds an altar. And I think, folks, for me personally, I think it's safe to assume that you are progressing with God. You are moving forward with God when you stop making deals with God and you start building altars to God. This section is really good today, but you two need some work. Gosh. You are moving forward with Jesus when you stop making deals with God and you start building altars to God. Amen. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Remember, it's all about living sacrifices. If you doubt me, go check out Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now, naturally, once all this had taken place, it would be very logical for us to assume in this part of the story, after Jacob came to his selfie, to himself, back at Bethel, God would then begin to just pour out his blessings upon him. You would naturally think that finally he came to himself and recognized who God was and who he wasn't. So God is going to bless him like he's never blessed him before. Because after all, aren't healthy relationships reciprocal? Right? They really are. That's how it works. And I don't know about you, but for me in my life, when I accomplish something through God's power and strength, something pretty marvelous or miraculous for his glory, I start thinking, this is just me, I start thinking that God's got my back now. And I become a little fearless, and I'm thinking God's going to really start looking out for me. So the right relationship's been established for Jacob here, and he's now leaving Bethel with his family, and I'm kind of thinking, man, finally some things are going to go really good for Jacob here forward. I'm really thinking this. But that's not exactly what we see that happens, is it? Now, out of the gate, you need to know that initially, God does indeed bless Jacob. There's no doubt about that. Check that out in verse 16. Then they moved on from Bethel, and while they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. Now, this was huge because Rachel, who we met last week in Matt's message called Sister Wives, were you here last week? Did Matt not do a great job with that message? Oh, gosh, I don't know if I just should keep throwing lines out in the water or not, people. Did Matt not do a great job last week? He did a phenomenal job. We met Rachel last week, and we learned that Rachel was a fox. She was hot. She was a lot like my wife, Ginger. And on the outside, she was beautiful. But on the inside, she was barren. She was barren. And this caused kind of this tension between her and her sister, Leah. And you probably met her last week, too, right? She was homely, to say the least, right? And Jacob kind of got tricked into having this. But from the beginning, Rachel couldn't initially have children with Jacob, which she desperately wanted because Rachel was the wife that Jacob fell in love with the very first time that he laid eyes on her. And she wanted to have children. But after many, many, many years of being barren, finally God answered some prayers and she gave birth to a boy named Joseph. And we've talked about him many, many times here at COC. He was a major, major player for the Israel nation. But while she was giving birth to Joseph, it was kind of like she was always, thank you for this, but I would like that too as well. She begins to pray. While giving birth to Joseph, she prays to the Lord, asking him, Lord, maybe, just maybe, would you be able to give me another son someday in the near future as well? So she's like, thank you. I would love to have another. And it was because Leah had already given Jacob 6 boys. She'd only given him 1, and that was after a long period of time. And some of you are wondering, weren't there 12 tribes in the nation of Israel? Yes, there were. And that's a whole other series that we'll do, because there were some hand servants that were involved and gave birth to some boys too. I know, kind of freaky stuff. It's the Old Testament. It's awesome. There's a lot of R-rated stuff in there. I go read it and don't feel guilty about it, okay? It's awesome. It's awesome. So while she's giving birth, she prays, can I have another one? That God, so out of the gate, you know, Jacob goes back to Bethel. He makes a sacrifice, and it appears that God is actually blessing him by giving him another son with the love of his life, Rachel. And as you just heard, somewhere along the way, on the journey home, Rachel gives birth. In the process of giving birth, our passage tells us that she begins to experience some serious difficulty. Now, I want to pause real quick here, and I just want to share something with you out of the gate that you've got to get today. You need to know, in your life with God, sometimes, God will answer your prayers, all right? But sometimes, it will cost you something that you had no idea that it would cost when it actually happens. Sometimes, God will answer your prayers, and it will cost you a price that you never imagined. See, Rachel asked for another son when she was giving birth to Joseph, but she did not know what we now know, that it would actually cost her her life in the process. So you see, friends, if it's one thing to ask God to kind of add something to your life, but it's worth noting that you may not know what it might cost you. You may not know. And there's your takeaway. It's great, and you should ask God to use you. But you better make very well aware sure that you understand that when God does eventually use you, it's gonna at times require that you be poured out in ways, that you be broken in ways that you would have never, ever, ever imagined or expected when you first asked God to use you. You've got to get that, and you've got to understand that. Back to our story, we see here that, as I've been saying, somewhere along the way, something that is great that is happening, a second son, and Jacob made this sacrifice back at Bethel, Rachel begins to give birth, and things get really bad, and as she's giving birth to a boy named Benjamin, Rachel dies. And I saw something here that is also worth noting. Another pause, you got to get this, something very interesting. Oftentimes, in your life with Christ, you will see this happening. Something is always dying while something else is coming alive. No. Did you hear me, people? Something in your life, often in your life with God, something is always dying while something else is coming to life. Wow. Don't you love the people that always say, when you ask them, how's it going? And they say, dude, it's all good. It's all good. And don't you just want to punch that person in the throat? Because naturally, you obviously already know that nothing is ever all good in your life. Nothing is ever all good. That is a misconception. That is a lie, because that's not how life works. And we see here that it's not all good for Jacob. Yes, something is being born, but something else is also dying in his life. And I'm talking today with this particular point to the person that's sitting out there, and you know exactly who you are, and some of you just got, you know, that lump in your throat because you're thinking I'm talking to you, and you think I know about you, and just go with that. I don't have a clue, but just go with that. Go with that right now. I'm talking to you right now because you've got some really good things going on in your life, but you also got some really bad things going on in your life. You've got some joy in some places of your life, but you also have a lot of worry in some of the places of your life. And here's what you got to understand. God has never promised along your journey of life with him that everything's going to be all right. Should I start singing that? God never has promised you that all things are going to be good. And you're like, whoa, hold on, Josh. Didn't he say something about that in Romans, chapter 8, verse 28, where he says that he works all things together. Don't miss this. For the good. For the good. He works all things together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And if we were to take that sentence into context, if God works all things together for the good, then we could naturally assume that everything is not always all that good before he gets a hold of it. Thanks, Dad. That means that there's some stuff in your life that's good, yes, but there's some stuff in your life that's not that good. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. So what we see God doing in that particular passage is this. He takes some things that are dying, and he takes some things that are alive, and he brings them together to make them all work. For what? For the good of his purpose, not yours. For his purpose in your life. Wow. Guys, let me just tell you this. If you're out there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for everything to be good in your life, to finally give God praise, you're just going to wait forever. And you're going to miss out on the opportunity to give God praise even in the middle of your mess. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Because nothing will ever be all good. There's always going to be something dying while something else is coming to life. Let's keep walking, verse 17 through 18. As she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't despair, for you have another son." And it's worth noting today that this is kind of just another freebie that I kind of throw in every once in a while. No charges, no extra tithes or passing the buckets again. But sometimes we really need people in our lives in the middle of our pain to remind us that God is fulfilling his promise. Look at the importance of that midwife. Don't worry about this, because God's answering your prayer. God's answering your prayer. Sometimes we need people to remind us that God is giving to us what we originally prayed for, yeah? Wow. Let's keep reading. As she breathed her last breath, remember, breathing her last breath, something is taking its first breath. She was dying. Now get this, as she breathed her last breath, with her last breath, gasp that, call him Benoni. Call him Benoni. And this next part is to me one of those parts that is just, where did this come from? Rachel's dying. Call him Benoni. And then Jacob's like, nah, let's call him Benjamin. Plus, what? Wow. So that's what I want to talk about for the rest of the day. I want to talk to you about Benoni, and I want to talk to you about Benjamin. Benoni and Benjamin. Benoni. I have a cousin named Ben. I think he's here today. Is he here today? Is he here today? There he is. Aren't you glad mom and dad didn't call you Benoni? That would be a good one, right? Benoni. Names are interesting, are they not? Names are interesting. Here's the top 10 list of the year's names. 2015, the most popular names today. Boys' names. Liam, Noah, Mason, Ethan, Logan, Lucas, Jackson, Jacob, Aiden, and Oliver. Top 10 names of the most popular names in 2015 so far. Girls' names. Emma, Olivia, Ava, Sophia, Isabella, Mia, Charlotte, Emily, Madison, Amelia. Amelia Bedelia. But have you ever noticed that celebrities come up with some of the greatest names? Wow. Listen to some of these names for boys. Denim Cole. Diesel Kai. Exton Elias. Banjo Patrick. Lyric. Seven Serious, Free, Bogart, Che Peyote, Zuma, Apollo, Rocco Cocopelli, Rocket, Racer, Rebel, Rufus Tiger, Dweezil, Zappa, you know that one. How about this one? This would be a great name. Rogue. Some of you have actually thought about renaming your child that, haven't you? After like 3 years later, your name's changing, Rogue. Here's some ladies, girls' names. Rumor, Scout, Tallulah, North, and the last name is West. Blue Ivy, Puma, this is a great one. Fifi Trixie Bell. Here's another one. Moxie Crime Fighter. Justice, Poppy Honey, Daisy Boo, Willow Sage, Rainbow. And it's not even spelled that way. It's spelled R-E-I-G-N-B-E-A-U. Rainbow. Moon Unit. Diva Muffin. Apple. This is my son, or my daughter, Apple. This is her brother, Banana, and that's their little sister, Orange. I mean, seriously, guys, you come across names today that are like, oh, really? Huh? Wait, what? What'd you say that name was? I'm serious. Names are very interesting, aren't they? I mean, take, for example, this one, Matt. Balgard. One T. Matt. Hi, Matt. Who's the app?
What's up, dude? I love you.
It's all right. How about this one? Claire. For a guy's name. Right? And it's like, what? Sorry, Dad. And if that's not bad enough, his middle name is Elwood. Claire Elwood. What was my grandmother thinking? I think we know, because his siblings' names were Virgil, Levon, Loreen, and Gerald. And you hear that, and you're like, wait, what? What? Or how about our buddy, Brad Wilkerson from COC Metro? You've heard him before. He's a golf enthusiast. And he named his son, get this, Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, after the Ryder Cup, and Payne, after Payne Stewart. Ryder Payne, because he thought that would be easier than naming him Tiger Shark. Names are just interesting. Are they not? They're interesting. So we see in our story, Rachel, with her last breath, says, name the boy Ben-Oni. Now, Ben means son of, and Oni is actually an ambiguous term. It actually has dual meaning. It can mean by one definition, which we would most likely kind of think this is what it means in this passage, but it can mean sorrow. So son of my sorrow. So we see with that definition, Rachel, in her dying moments, says, call him son of my sorrow, knowing that she would never be around to nurse him, to care for him, to nurture him, to watch him take his first steps, to laugh with him, play with him, celebrate his life. She says, call him the son of my sorrow. Naturally, we think that makes a little sense there. But here's what's interesting. It's fascinating. That's why names are interesting. You may not know this, but Oni can also mean, based on interpretation, get this. Oni can also mean strength. Strength. And isn't it interesting that the same word Oni can actually mean both sorrow and strength? So Rachel takes her last breath, and she calls him son of my sorrow or son of my strength. And we're left really not knowing which one really is it. And I'm not sure about you, and it leaves me confused because it just doesn't make sense. These are two just completely opposite words almost. How could the same word mean something so diametrically different? But I thought about it. I thought, what if those two definitions that are so diametrically different as they appear to be on the surface, what if great sorrow gives birth to great strength? What if great strength is always born out of great sorrow? Wow. Which may just mean, maybe, just maybe, some of the people that you come across in life and you've heard their story and you're like, wow, wow. Maybe, just maybe, they're some of the greatest people that you have ever met in your life that have experienced some of the greatest sorrow in their life. And you're wondering, how can they be so strong? Which might also mean, let me bring you a little closer to home with this. Maybe, just maybe, the most difficult times that you have ever experienced in your life or are experiencing are happening or happened only to grow you stronger. So you could become who you originally planned to be. A.W. Tozer, major theologian, said, "It is doubtful that God can greatly use a man until God has greatly hurt a man." I'm telling you folks today, I'd be willing to bet anything that if you happen to come across a person who has such amazing strength complemented with grace, amazing strength complemented with grace, I could almost bet you that they've experienced a great amount of sorrow along the way. For me personally, I'll get in trouble for this later, but who cares? My biggest hero in life is a lady that you probably know. Her name is Ginger Barrett. And I've never in my life seen someone go through so much adversity, so much hurt, so much pain, but yet always finds a way to show and to demonstrate such amazing strength to so many people that she encounters. I'm telling you guys, she's my hero. She's my hero. How about Jesus? Prophet Isaiah tells us that he was a man of great sorrow. And I'd like to believe that it was that sorrow that actually gave him the strength and the power to overcome the cross and eventually overcome death. Amen. Have you ever hurt so bad for someone that a deep ache in your gut? Often joke, you remember in the parenting series, of when you say, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, and you used to want to punch your parents in the face when you'd hear that. But now being a parent and watching my children go through things that are hurting them, that I don't think about it. I have to, because I'm commanded to get involved in their life. And it hurts me to the core of who I am. But I know that my intervention and my sorrow will lead, hopefully, to their strength someday. Verse 18, as she breathed her last breath, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. And now the funny part, but his father Jacob named him Benjamin. That's brutal. That is totally brutal. It really is. His wife's last dying wish, you know, call him Benoni, and call him Benjamin. That's what we were going to go with right on that one. She wasn't right in the brain anyway. You know, I don't know. It's just brutal in my thinking. But there's no doubt that Jacob's got to be hurting. He really has to be. We know that. He just lost the only thing that he has ever loved. It's said and noted in the Bible numerous times that he loved Rachel. You know, it's never even recorded that I was aware of in reading that he loved God. It's recorded that he loved Rachel. He's just lost that thing, that person that he worked 14 years for. 14 years for the girl, man. She was everything to him. And we know that it was a great time of sorrow for him. Because later on in Genesis 48 and verse 7, it says that he was saying that he was filled with sorrow in the time of her death. But it was just this, and you've got to get this. And this is why where I say it's funny, it actually has serious purpose. Jacob refused. He refused to name the child that was born out of sorrow according to the sorrow that gave the child birth. You think about that one. Let that one resonate with you. He refused to name the child that was born out of sorrow according to the sorrow that gave the child birth. Please don't miss this. Get this. Jacob refused. He had nothing to do with it. He didn't want anything to do with it. He refused to name Benjamin's destiny according to a moment in his history. He refused. So they come to Jacob and they say something like this: "We're so sorry, Jacob. We did all that we could, but we could not save Rachel. But we were able to save the child. Did you hear us? You have another son, Jacob, and Rachel has requested that he be called Benoni." And Jacob trying to process all these things and everything that's happening. "I just sacrificed to God. I stopped talking. I built an altar. This is happening. The love of my life." He ponders on it. "Benoni, Benoni." "No, let's call him Benjamin. Let's call him Benjamin." You know what Benjamin means? You know what Benjamin means? It's nothing short of amazing. Do you know what Benjamin means? I don't think you want to know what Benjamin means. Do you want to know what Benjamin means? Do you? I don't feel you right over here, left side. Do you want to know what Benjamin means? I need to know. I'm going to tell you what Benjamin means. You want to know? All right, I'm going to tell you in a minute, okay? In a minute. Now, here's what's interesting. Jacob has a lot of experience with new names, doesn't he? He has a lot of experience. If you were here in our first week, you know what I mean. Jacob, the heel grabber, once had his name changed too, didn't he? Back when he wrestled with God, where God changed his name to Israel, which means triumphant with God. His name got changed. But that's not the only name change that he's familiar with. Right? I mean, here's what we learned in when he first went to that place called Bethel. It was a place called Luz. And he renamed it to Bethel when he had the vision, which actually means the house of God. And he renamed that location. And another time when he was running from Esau, I don't think we actually covered it in the series, but he woke up and he was afraid because he thought that his brother was going to get him. And he woke up and he saw thousands of angels all around him, and they were protecting him. So in that moment, he renamed that place Mahanathim. Mahanathim, which in Hebrew means encampment of God. Encampment of God, because he saw God all around him. So he renamed that place. He's familiar with renaming things. And another time, back when he was wrestling with God again, not only did he get a name changed from Jacob to Israel, but he also named that place, renamed it, that place that happened, he renamed that to Penuel. Penuel, which means face of God. Because as you realize, he thought he was wrestling with a man, but he was actually wrestling with an incarnate God. And he realized Penuel means face of God. And when he realized, "I was just wrestling with God," I'm going to rename this place the face of God. My point is, don't miss this, don't miss this. Jacob has renamed some places. He's been renamed himself, and now at the most sorrow-filled moment in his life, he thinks to himself and he says, "Wait a minute, wait just a minute. If I can rename places in my life, and I myself can be renamed, then you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I can rename this child too. Oh, please stay with me, because you want to know what Benjamin means? You want to know what it means right now? You want to know what Benjamin means? It's awesome. It's awesome. Get ready. Get ready. It's going to blow your mind. Ben means son of. The same as, right, Ben, like before. You get that. But when you add Jamin to it, it means this. Are you ready? I don't think some of you want to know. I really don't think some of you want to know what Benjamin means. George does, but I knew that. Do you want to know what Benjamin means? Because you got to get this. You got to get this. Do you know what Benjamin means? Ben means son of. And when you add Jamin to it, do you want to know? Do you want to know? Okay, I'll tell you in a minute. Now remember, Jacob is looking down at this child, right? He's looking down at this child, and he sees tragedy. He sees tragedy, and he sees pain, and he sees hurt, and he sees loss. He sees heartache, and he thinks to himself, I think that I will call him Benjamin. 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 Son of. You ready? You ready? You ready? Son of. Son of. But you remember there was another time? Do you remember there was another time that he actually went in to his father? And stay with me, it's coming, I promise you, I'll tell you that in a minute. Remember when Jacob went in to get the blessing from Isaac that belonged to Esau? Jacob goes into Isaac. He goes into Isaac, and Isaac's pretty much blind in this moment. He can't see Jacob. So he does this, get this, he does this, something amazing. He takes his right hand, and he places it on the forehead of Jacob. Because see, folks, in Scripture, the right hand was the hand that was used to give blessings. The right hand was the hand that was used to bestow power. It demonstrated authority. The right hand meant blessing, power, and authority. And friends, that's what Benjamin means. Son of my right hand. And if you have been here for any of these weeks, you understand something so magnificent and so huge at what Jacob has just done in renaming his son to Benjamin. You understand this, you get this, because isn't it interesting that Jacob, all his life, has been trying to get what? The right hand of blessing. And in a situation that others would have looked at and said, that's a curse. Jacob's like, hold on just a minute. Hold on just a second. I've now got a right hand too, and it's time that I use it. And I'm choosing to call this tragic situation something else. I'm going to call it a blessing. I'm not going to call it a tragic situation. I'm going to call it a blessing. That's right. You call that boy Benjamin. Son of my right hand. You call him that. Don't call him Benoni. Get that death out of here. Get that sorrow out of here. You call that boy son of my right hand. Call him Benjamin. Call him Benjamin. Oh, somebody, please say wow. Thank you. I needed a breath. I really did. You see, friends, here's the deal. I've learned a few things in 20 plus years in full vocational ministry. It's time that some of you stop waiting on your circumstances to change. Because what you need to know is God is and always will be saying, I want you to pronounce a blessing on your circumstance. I want you to stop calling Stop calling your trials and the sorrows in your life Benoni. Stop doing it, because God is calling you to change the name. Change the name to Benjamin. Change the name to a blessing. Are you getting this, COC? I hope you're getting this. Listen. Rachel wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong when she called it for what it was. Sorrow. She wasn't wrong. But Jacob wasn't wrong either, friends, when he called it for what it is, a blessing. See, we've got to change our view, and we got to stop seeing things as we see them and start seeing them as God sees them. They're not just problems. They're opportunities. They're opportunities. They're not just setbacks. They're setups, and you've got to change that. You've got to change that, and you've got to realize that as a child of God, you can call your problems and your sorrows for what they are. I get that. I know being unemployed, it's depressing. It is. Being single, it's not that much fun. Being addicted to porn, it's not that freeing. Raising a rebellious child, it's not easy. Right? Losing a loved one to cancer, it's not pain-free. Being abused or neglected, it's not something that you like or you want. Being a single parent working 2 to 3 jobs, it gets pretty exhausting. Caring for what for that parent that gets Alzheimer's, it's not something that you planned or you prepared for. I get that. You can call them for what they are. Or friends, I suggest to you what God suggests to you, that you can claim your naming rights today, and you can call what God says it is, and what it has the potential to be, because you have naming rights. As a child of God, you have naming rights. So whatever that sorrow-filled situation is in your life, whatever that grievous moment is, whatever that mess is, call it something else, man. Call it joy. Call it peace. Call it righteousness. Call it hope. Call it grace. Call it mercy. Call it anything for what it is, because God has given you naming rights. He's given you naming rights to change anything that's in your life to something amazing. Sure, sometimes you have a situation that you can change. And when you can, do it. Change it. But, listen, friends, sometimes when Rachel dies and there's sorrow in the situation and you can't bring her back, then change the name. Change the name. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and stand to your feet today? Please don't cut me off. Please don't cut me off. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. This is a moment for you or for somebody seated next to you, and you don't want to be a distraction for them as you get up and leave. Here's what I want to do today. I want to pray. I want to sing a song together. While we sing that song, here's what I want you to do today, friends. And here is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants for somebody to do today. He's opening up an invitation for anybody that's here that's experiencing something sorrow-filled in your life. For anybody here that you're in the middle of a mess right now, and it's causing you to worry. It's causing you to lose sleep. It's causing you great pain. Here's what I want you to do today. I want to invite you to come to the front. I want to invite you to hit your knees today. And I want to invite you to give that situation over to God. Give that circumstance over to God. Give that mess over to God. And when you do, here's what I want you to do. Don't miss this, because this is a privilege that you have as a child of God. After you sacrifice that and give it to God, here's what I want you to do today. I want you to give it a new name. Stop carrying around the burden. Stop carrying around the pain. Stop carrying around the problem. Get past it. Get over it. And I'm not being insensitive. What I'm telling you to do is what I would tell you to do in a counseling session. Come before God. Meet face to face with your Creator, and then take the privilege that He's given to you and rename it today. Rename it. Now, I know that a message like this, the altars should not have enough space for people to come forward. Because I know that many of you are carrying a weight that you're going to still choose to carry and walk out of here today. And I'm saddened with that. I'm sorry for you. Because I know from the Word of God how you can move forward. But you will never move forward until you learn how to take your God-given right and turn your mess into a miracle and change its name. So I challenge you to have the courage, and I challenge you to have the boldness to come forward. Don't stand. Get on your knees. Get on your face before God and change the name of your problem today. Because, friends, you have naming rights. You have naming rights. Jesus, thank you for my friends today. I pray that you would move in a miraculous way, and I pray people would have courage to come forward, change the name of their situation, and turn it into something incredible. Would you move in a miraculous way as we sing together? Would you move the spirits of those that you're burdening right now to come forward? Help them have the courage to respond and change the name of their mess. To a miracle. Love you. In your son's name.